Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
We started a new series last week. Does anybody remember what it's called? Leaders and Lovers. God loves leaders and he loves leaders who love God. Right? So let's ask God to bless this word. Thank you, Father, for every person that you've gathered here today. Everyone this word applies to. You've called every person here to be a leader in the Lord and to be a lover of God. I pray that you would take this word and make it come alive. As it comes out of my mouth, Holy Spirit, anoint it. And anoint every ear and every heart to receive it and to believe it for themselves. So that it blesses them and it brings glory back to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody would agree and say, amen. 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 All right, it says, you know, I said last week that God is looking for leaders. And he's also looking for leaders who love God, right? And I think that people are born onto this earth to have great significance and great purpose. And it's only when you find God, when you find Jesus, that this purpose kind of just explodes in your understanding. And I believe that it's so important that, you know, that we recognize we're all called to be leaders, we're all called to be lovers of God, who stand before God and who represent him, right? And people from every demographic. Remember what's that demographic chart? From every demographic, every age group, God is calling people to become leaders from every demographic who live in every sphere of life to influence the world for God. And I said that God is looking for good leaders. He's looking for healthy leaders. And God wants to empower leaders. He wants to empower us today. Why? What's the reason? Why does he want to do that? Because we need to understand that empowered leaders are the greatest threat to routine. They're the greatest threat to purposeless, the greatest threat to status quo and to people just kind of going in the wrong direction in their lives. God wants to empower leaders. That's why this message today is called Empowered. Empowered. I want to take you right to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And let me give you a bit of background before we just read the scripture. The background is this. Jesus has just been resurrected. They crucified him. They buried him. But they just could not keep him down. And he rose from the grave on the third day. So he is resurrected, he's meeting with the disciples, but he's not yet ascended. And he's just conquered hell, and he just conquered death. And because of all this, the disciples are so charged up, they're so fired up, they're ready to take on the world. And this is when Jesus says this to his disciples. He said to them, "This is written, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," that's an old English word, tarry, it means don't go yet, just wait, "in the city of Jerusalem, until you are endued with power from on high." Don't go, just wait, all right, until this happens. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise." Now, other verses like NIV would say, "Wait for the gift of my Father, the promise of my Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So again, he commands his disciples to wait for the promise of my Father. Don't go. wait, because something new is about to happen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power, Jesus said. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And you know, you look at these phrases in these scriptures, like Jesus said, you will be endued with power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You'll be baptized. You'll be immersed. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, God's trying to communicate something about empowerment to us as believers. Empowerment. Everybody's looking for empowerment. You look back in history, groups of people were always looking for empowerment. We see the racial groups. We see the black people looking for empowerment. We see the Hispanics looking for empowerment, right? We saw women in the past looking for to be empowered, right? You know, even now, today, we see minority groups looking for empowerment, right? Well, if God's going to empower any group, who's he going to empower? Point number one, God wants to empower the church. God wants to empower his leaders. There are too many Christians that are trying to be leaders, but they're not empowered to be leaders. The whole key is that we need to be empowered. And that's part of the job of the church, but it's God's responsibility to empower us. See, he doesn't want us to do anything until we receive his power, and we receive his power through the Holy Spirit, through his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, enables us to do all kinds of things that we cannot do without God, right? We need his power. But I've noticed there's a lot of things that we as believers, we don't understand about the Holy Spirit. See, you can be a Christian for a long time, but you can have a limited understanding, and therefore you have a limited experience of Holy Spirit. Now, we know that, and the Bible teaches us that God is a triune God. He's a triune God. He's three in one, three parts in one, or three persons in one, right? He's Father, he's Son, but he's also the Holy Spirit, right? See, we can relate to God the Father because we have a Father or we might be a Father, right? And most of us could relate to Jesus the Son of God because we read about him as a person who has a human form. He's just like us. He ate, he slept, you know, he lived like life like us, right? But then there's the Holy Spirit. You know, and the way some people talk about the Holy Spirit and then with the stuff that they say can confuse us even more about who the Holy Spirit is all about. You know, some people like to make the Holy Spirit out to be weird, you know, and kind of odd. And they talk about their experiences, which tend to be kind of like on the weird side, on the odd side. And because of the way they present the Holy Spirit, people get weirded out. Am I right? No, does that happen? It can happen, right? You know, and these people, they can talk about all about having the power of the Holy Spirit, but their lives are just messed up, right? And they're all spiritual, and they say, oh yeah, well, God told me to do this, and Holy Spirit told me to do that, and I know it's right, and I'm going to do it because Holy Spirit told me to do that. And I could say, well, wait a minute, but the Word of God says this, or it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit told me. Did you ever have anybody pull out the Holy Spirit card on you? Pastor, you're a pastor, you're a leader. It happens all the time. People pull out the Holy Spirit card. I'm going to do this because God told me I could do it. Holy Spirit told me I could do it. Right? Have you heard that? I heard a guy, and this is true. A Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit said that it was okay for me to divorce my wife because I found this other woman. Like we were just kind of coexisting anyway, but I found this other woman and I fell in love with her. And Holy Spirit, God told me it's okay for me to marry her because God does not want me to be unhappy. Wow. You know, there's this big disconnect between what some people say and the way their life really is. Isn't that right? You know, I want to tell you, Holy Spirit is not weird. Holy Spirit is not weird. You know, I read the Bible. Who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is the Father and the Son, responding and operating as in the world through his disciples now, right? Through us. Was Jesus ever weird in the Bible? Was he ever weird? Jesus was not weird. He was never weird. He was a lot of great things, but he was never weird, right? I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit does not make you weird, but he may make you a bit fanatical, right? He may make you want to love Jesus more than anything or anyone on earth, amen? The Holy Spirit may make you want to talk about him constantly and make you not want to shut up, right? And the Holy Spirit may make you love coming to church and to love the people in it. Heard the guy say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church because it's going to make me, I don't want to be fanatical. I don't want to be weird like those people in church are always singing and praising and talking about God, and I don't want to be a fanatic. But hey, but wait a minute. I saw you at the Stampeders playoff football game, and you had and you were just really in it. You were really going for it with your buddies, and you had your face was painted red, and you took your shirt off, and you had this great big, you know, great big S on your painted in red on your stomach. It's okay to be a little bit fanatical about Jesus. Amen? We can be a fanatical about a lot of things, but let's be a bit more fanatical about Jesus in our life. Amen? Who is the Holy Spirit? Point two, the Holy Spirit is the invisible presence of Almighty God. Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible 800 times. John chapter 4, verse 24, King James Version says, God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and his people must worship in spirit and truth. When we say Jesus, we're referring to God in the flesh. When we say Father, we're referring to the creative, Father-like nature of God. When we say Holy Spirit, we're referring to the invisible presence of God that surrounds us, that's with us, and that wants to be in us. Amen? You know, so much of the world around us is invisible. It's non-material. It's not physical, right? And we need to understand that there's a world out there that even though we can't see it, it exists and it's real. Like the cloud, right? Right? Like, what is that? When I heard that, I thought, I don't understand that. Like, I still don't understand it today, but I still, you know, I still hook up my phone to the cloud to get the information up there so I can retrieve it, right? How about the internet? How does Bluetooth work, right? I mean, it's my 4-year-old granddaughter, Layton. She's here today, I think. And she's just last week, she said to me, Papa, I want to watch Netflix. She called it Netflix. I said, okay. So we're standing in front of our big 70-inch TV screen. And I turned, it was on some other program. I turned it to Netflix, and all of a sudden these pictures came up of all these kids' programs and series. And she asked me this question. She says, Papa, how do all these pictures get on to the TV? Wow. Big question for a little girl, right? See, we need to be more aware of the invisible. There is a world that is real, and it's invisible, and it's right out there. And Holy Spirit is in the world, and he's always trying to he's always looking for opportunities to help us advance God's plan and God's purpose in and through us in our everyday lives. Right? Everyday lives. We know one of the best books that will really help you understand how the Holy Spirit is to operate through us believers today is Leon Fontaine's book called Spirit Contemporary. You should get that book. Right? In John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26, here's what Jesus said about Holy Spirit. He said in verse 25 and 26, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance, remind all I have said to you." So here Jesus says, here's how the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life. He's going to be your helper, he's going to teach you, and he's going to remind you of things that he said to you. So, you know, often we say the Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us power. So how does God do that? Right? How does God give us power? Right? You know, when he fills us with his power, what's it like? Is it like a lightning bolt that just kind of hits you? Is it kind of like putting your finger into an electrical socket? It's like plugging up to a battery and then acting like the Energizer Bunny, running around all over the place doing stuff? No, it's not like that. Jesus said, he told his disciples, when I send the Holy Spirit to you, I'm going to empower you. And this is how I'm going to empower you. We need to understand three things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, and we just mentioned it right there. Number one, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our helper. He helps us to go beyond what we could ever do in our own natural strength and ability, right? See, where your natural strength and where your own ability end is limited, the Holy Spirit can kick in, right? He can take over and he can really help you. He's our helper. He helps us to do all kinds of stuff. And he also helps us not to do some stuff, like act out in the flesh, act out carnally, right? You know, he helps us to overcome stuff like envy and jealousy and strife. He shows us our blind spots. He shows blind spots, not his blind spot and her blind spot, but he shows you your blind spots, right? He shows you your pride. He shows you your selfishness, right? He does all these things. You know, he also helps us. He helps us in our thinking, in our speaking. When you're asked to give a speech or talk or do a presentation, he helps you. He helps it in your thinking. He helps you in your speaking. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. He also helps us to overcome bad habits. He helps us to overcome powerful addictions, you know, like alcohol. And I think maybe that's because of the power of you know, the influence of alcohol. I think Paul uses that when he talks to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your heart. And here Paul is using alcohol as an analogy. Alcohol can influence you to ruin in your life. He's saying, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, put yourself under the influence of the Holy Spirit and be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe it's true. There's a lot of things that you and I, we just cannot do unless we're under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Some things are impossible for us to do if the Holy Spirit doesn't give us his power to do that. Amen? He influences us. He enables us. He empowers us to overcome. He changes us from the inside out. You know, he makes you a better you, a better leader. He's our helper. He helps us in all these different ways. Number two, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Well, one of the ways that he helps us is he teaches us. You know, he doesn't teach us anything that doesn't and that won't help us. In Galatians chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the teaching, his teaching, is what creates this fruit of the Spirit in our life. And Galatians 5, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. No, the Spirit teaches us how to love each other the way we're supposed to love each other. The Spirit gives us joy, gives us peace, teaches us how to have forbearance, to be patient with one another. His Spirit within us can cause us to be the kindest people on earth. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things are the fruit of the Spirit. His Spirit works through the Word of God to teach me, and He helps me to grow. Amen? You know, and He's here right now. Like, right now the Holy Spirit is here. You know that? And He's creating this atmosphere to teach you and to encourage you right now. There's so many things the Holy Spirit does. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's just going to speak to you. It's going to like be a momentary thought that comes into your mind. And it might be like when you just had a discussion with somebody, and maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, and you walk away, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. This thought sort of comes into your mind, and it's in your heart, and He says something like, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that. That happens all the time when after talking to my wife. You shouldn't have said that. She always tells me that. She's the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. Right away. And I said, get behind me, Satan. I could say that, right? I said, no. That was you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. See, we can ignore these nudges, these promptings of the Holy Spirit. He's always trying to speak to you. He's always trying to prompt you. He's always trying to say something to you. You can ignore it. Or you can say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You are here. And you're here to teach me. And you're here to make me a better person, a better leader, a better husband, whatever it is you need to be better at, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Amen? And He teaches me how to treat other people. He teaches, if you're a husband, He will teach you to be a better husband to your wife, right? He teaches you to be a better leader. You know, He teaches you to be a better person. He has all that power. He teaches me how to get along with people. And He increases my e-quotient. You know what your e-quotient is? It's what all employers are looking for today. E-quotient. Emotional ability. The ability to get along with other people. When you have the Holy Spirit, He teaches you how to get along with people. Teaches you how to forgive. Teaches you how to talk to people. He'll show you how to do that. You know? He'll make you a better person. He'll make you a team player instead of just an individual trying to do your own thing, get in your own way. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our helper. He's our teacher. And the third thing in that scripture, the Holy Spirit is our reminder. Our reminder. You know, we have this incredible thing in our heads called our brains. And we have an incredible thing called our memory, right? But even if you're trying to study the Word of God or you're studying anything, you know, there's so much information that you have to retain in your brain, isn't there? There's so much to study, so much to learn, so much to remember, so much information out there today that it's almost impossible to retain all that stuff. It just makes you want to give up. Anybody there? Right? I get these emails and how to be a better leader, and this person sees this, and then there's this blog, and I'm just... Man, I just can't even retain all that. Dave and I were talking about that a while ago. You know, it's almost, you know, if you're a believer in Christ and you're an avid learner, can I say this? You're going to learn a lot more, way more than you're ever going to be able to retain in your brain, in your own memory. You agree with that? But here's the good news. If you put yourself in that place where you just keep on drinking in the Word of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, you're going to be amazed at the things that will just pop into your mind, courtesy of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know, if you incorporate the Holy Spirit into your life, things like scriptures, thoughts, insights, sometimes faces of people that God wants to connect you to will come into your mind. Right? All of a sudden, they'll just kind of be there, right? Just the right thought, just the right scripture, just the right answer, the right insight will just come into your mind. Just boom, it's right there. And, You know, sometimes it'll just shock you. I thought, wow, where did that come from? Wow, it just came to me at the right time, at the right moment, and at the time precisely when I needed that. Where did that come from? It came from Holy Spirit. He's always trying to remind you, right? See, that's why I think it's so important. I'm going to just challenge you as people of God to get into your Bible and to read that Bible and get the wisdom of God, get the insights of God, get the knowledge of God inside of you, because it creates this reservoir that the Holy Spirit can draw from, right? But if you're not learning, the Holy Spirit can't draw from what you haven't learned, right? Right? You know, and he can't remind you of anything that you haven't learned, right? I'm talking to you students too. When you're writing your exams, the Holy Spirit can help you, but you got to learn it first before he can remind you, amen? So I just want to encourage you, keep on putting yourself in that place where you're drinking in the Word of God. You're just, you know, just reading it, and you're memorizing it, and you're studying it constantly. Just let it get in there. Let it just get into this reservoir. It may not be forthright, right in your present memory, but it's there within your spirit, right? So just at the right time, it'll be there. The Holy Spirit just quicken it to your mind. And it'll quicken it because it's already in your mind. It's already in your heart. But you got to get it into your heart and your mind. Amen? So powerful. The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God will make you an outstanding leader. Amen? So here's the Holy Spirit. He helps us. He teaches us. He reminds us. But I'm going to give you just a couple more things that he does. The Holy Spirit also gives us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1, 4, and 7, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." For the common good. Every one of us has a gift of the Spirit. If you're a believer and you get the Holy Spirit, you will also get a supernatural gift from God, or gifts from God. And all these tools are used to build. They're used to build up the church, to build up the body of believers. You know, and when we get a gift, I get a gift, it might be different from your gift, but we're gifted differently. And I need your gift as much as you need my gift, right? Every single one of us, we have these different gifts. And when we come together collectively and we work together, wow, the power that's released and manifested, you know, through these gifts are just incredible. And we do the work of God. God works ahead through us when we get together, when we use our gifts together. Amen? It's so important that we use the gifts. They're not for ourselves. Gifts are not made to look good. You know, and sometimes if you have a prophetic gift and you can prophesy out of the left and right side of your mouth and everywhere, you know, people will think, wow, what an incredible guy. Wow, that guy's so awesome. You know what? That's not what the gift is for, to make you look awesome. We need to operate and use the gifts in humility. Amen? In humility. And God needs character for that gift to flow out of, right? Not the other way around. Some people just get enamored with all the gifts, but God wants character before he wants gifting. Amen? You know, all these gifts here on your PowerPoint, all the gifts are used to build people up. And they're mentioned in, basically most of them are mentioned in three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. But if there's this chapter right in between. Chapter 13, does anybody know what chapter is? It's called what? Chapter 13 is called the love chapter. And that's where Paul says, listen, you can have all the gifts in the world. You can prophesy. You can do all these incredible things. You can have words of knowledge. And, you know, you can lay your hands on, peel people. But listen, if you have not love, then you're nothing. You're just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal if you have not love. Right? All these gifts, they operate out of love. You know, it's not about the gifts. It's about the grace of God. And it's about loving people. That's why God wants to give. And that's why we, you know, that's why the more people there are, the more the love there is. I think when we use our gifts, you know, more people get ministered to, right? The gifts are there to empower us to be servants and to be leaders to do the work of God. Amen? Number 5. Last one, and I'm almost finished. The Holy Spirit walks with us, and he talks with us, And he leads us. The Bible talks about walking in the Spirit, keeping step with the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. That same scripture in the New Living Translation says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our life. In your relationships, in your job. What are you doing in your life? What do you need help in your life? Where do you need to be led in your life? The Holy Spirit is there to help you in every part of your life. Amen? Romans 8:14. Paul says to the Romans, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Paul's talking about an intentional daily walk with God through the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit becomes this constant traveling companion who's not just with you. He's literally inside of you. You know, and he's encouraging you, and he's teaching you, and he's helping you in everything that you have to do. And he's prompting you, and he's speaking to you. He's always there. And we need to keep in step with the Spirit, right? That's what Paul said. Keep in step. Listen to his voice. Heed his promptings. You know, be open to him, right? See, I want to say this once again. God wants to empower you. Amen? God wants to empower you. And he wants you to become a better version of you. Because when you've got him inside of you, he's holy. And I'm not very holy, but more I have of his holy presence, what happens to me? I become more like Jesus. Wow. You know, that's why Bible says we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we'd be filled with his power. You know, when Jesus said these words, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. He says, I'll give you courage. I'll give you boldness. I'll cause you to be a witness. I'm going to give you power. And some people misunderstand that. They say, well, you know, I've got the Holy Spirit. There are some believers that think, you know, if you have received Christ into your life, you receive the Holy Spirit because you believe in Jesus, you got it all. But there's another experience that Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about receiving the person of the Holy Spirit again. The disciples were saved. It says in John 20, verse 22, he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. They were at that point born again. But then he told them, it's not, you're born again, you got the Holy Spirit, but you need more. And don't do anything until we receive his power. And it's the same thing for us, right? Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, 13, he said, hey, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them who ask, right? It's a gift, it's a power of the Holy Spirit. And then when you receive, you know, you can do, you know, you can ask for it. You can just sit there in your prayer closet and say, God, fill me with your power. I believe in you. You're inside of me, but I need your power. And he'll fill you with the power. You can go with, ask, you know, you come to your small group and ask your small group, man, you know, I received the Holy Spirit. Now I need his power. Jesus said, don't do anything until I receive his power. So can you pray with me as I ask the Holy Spirit? You know, and you will experience his power in a fresh way. And it's something that God says to do us daily. You know, daily be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, why do we need to ask daily? Isn't that once enough? No, it's because we leak, right? We're containers and we leak and it gets used up. When we love someone, we encourage somebody, pray for somebody. You know, we get used up. There's volume that comes into us through the Holy Spirit. We don't understand it. But there's a quantitativeness about his power. And that's why we need to ask for his power and his presence every single day. Amen? And in every situation. And God promises you need his power, he'll fill you with his power. Amen? You know, and you might even be able to speak in tongues. You know, and don't be afraid of tongues. And don't listen to what some people will say, well, it's from the devil. It's not of the devil. It's right in the Bible. How can it be from the devil, right? It's a heavenly language. It's a personal prayer language that God gives you that the devil can't hear, just you and God. It's your spirit communicating to God. It's supernatural. It's invisible, but it's real and it's powerful. When you start praying in tongues, the Bible says you literally edify yourself. You strengthen your soul. You encourage yourself, right? We need it. I need all I can get to do the work of God. There's more that you can give me. Give it to me, God. Amen. You know, be like Jacob. You know, Jacob just went after, you know, his brother's inheritance because he didn't have enough. You know, I mean, it's rob to steal from somebody else, right? But, you know, but it's right to want all you can from God and to be hungry for God, to be a little bit more fanatical about Jesus. Amen? You know, let's be that group of people. Let's don't be like a lot of other people. God wants to empower you. God wants to make you a better version of you. Amen? So I'm going to finish this off with a challenge, with a personal assignment. All right? So right on. Got everything up here. Here's your challenge. Here's your personal assignment. Number one, let's raise our awareness of the presence of Holy Spirit in our life. Let's raise our awareness of His presence in our life. Let's talk to Him. Let's talk to Him. Let's incorporate Him into our prayers. You know, when you pray, you say, Father, you can say, Jesus, why don't you say, Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit as well. And dress Him as Holy Spirit. Talk to Him as you would a personal friend, a companion, a helper, right? And let's listen to Him. Let's listen to Him this week. Because for sure now that you've heard this, the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you. Are you ready for His prompting? Why don't you just take one of those promptings and just respond to it? Maybe He's going to encourage you to go and talk to someone because they're down. Maybe He's going to ask you to pray for someone, right? Maybe He's going to ask you to invite someone to church next week. You know that there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus said, no one can come to the Father unless the Father draws him. He draws him by the Spirit. So if you're prompted and you sense the Holy Spirit saying to them, I'm drawing that guy, I'm drawing that person, invite them. Invite them to come to church. They'll probably get saved, right? Listen to the Holy Spirit this week, and let's thank Him. Let's thank the Holy Spirit. You know, I get up here and I preach. And after I preach, you know, before I preach, I'm sometimes literally shaken inside. Because I'm thinking, God, you got to help me. Because this message that I have is going to fall so flat. And it's going to be useless if you don't anoint it and make it come alive. And I tell you, I'm desperate for the Holy Spirit. And I need Him so bad. And after I've spoken Him and I've gone home, one of the first things I say to Him is, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for here. You know, I was at Tim's. I said I was finished. You got to give me a few minutes. Let me go. One more minute. I was at Tim Hortons a couple of days ago. And I always take my wallet in a very safe place. I was working on my message. I like Tim's because it's kind of like the quiet noise, the noise that kind of helps you to concentrate, you know. You know what I mean? You're just there. And anyway, I was walking out and I just was putting my hand in the door, just got, and all of a sudden this thought comes in. Your wallet, where's your wallet? I thought, oh, of course my wallet's in my pocket. And of course I reached in, it's not there, so I go right back, and here's my wallet sitting right on the chair, right? I mean, it's a little thing, but the Holy Spirit does that. He just reminds you. Dan Fox was saying that in our men's meeting, one time, God started to speak, and the Holy Spirit says, well, go downstairs to your archives, because there's this letter that you had, it was a spiritual letter. I don't know what it said, but He says, just remind him of this incredible letter that somebody had written, or he had written, and he was supposed to go get it. So he said, I don't really want to go down. But then this thought came back to him again, just out of the blue, go get this letter. So he said, okay. So he went down, he got that letter. And he went down to his basement and he opened the door and it was in the storage room, and that's where his hot water tank was. And his hot water tank had just started to overflow. And it was flooding. He had just put brand new hardware down on the floor. Isn't that credible? The Holy Spirit is always trying to speak to us. He gives us wisdom. He gives words to say, you know, and we just need to experience that. Amen? You know, I'm so thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, because I could not be up here today speaking to you, right? We could not even be pastors unless I was a Spirit-filled man of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit, He is the invisible presence of Almighty God inside you. Amen? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just bow your heads. Father, you said, just like Jesus, you told the disciples, unless I go, I can't send the helper to you, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. But when I go, I will send him to you. And he will teach you, he will help you, and he will remind you of all the things that I've taught you. I thank you that you sent this powerful presence of yourself, not just to be with us, but actually to be in us. So we want to thank you for this holy gift in Jesus' name. Help us to rise up to the challenge, to start talking to you and listening to your promptings, to start daily being filled with your power. Thank you, Father, for helping us to be empowered more and more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed for just another couple minutes. You know, today I want to speak to that person. You may be here, and you know there's something missing in your heart. And today God the Father offers you a priceless gift. It's called the gift of salvation. It's called eternal life. And no, it's not just life in heaven when you go away. It's eternal life here. It's abundant life here, right now, here in God. Right now, here and now. And Jesus paid the price for this priceless gift. He shed his blood on the cross for you. So if you're here today and you've never received Christ in your heart, you can do that right now. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, the Son. Amen? So once again, if you've never accepted Christ before, I'm going to say this simple prayer out loud that you can repeat. And if you've never repeated this prayer before, repeat this prayer and mean it with all your heart. And I promise you, this will be the most life-changing, the most powerful prayer you will ever pray in your life. Amen? So if that's you, will you repeat after me? Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know and I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Today, here and now, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I'm going to ask you, if you said that prayer for the very first time, would you hold your hand up and would you just wave it? Thank you. I see that hand. Congratulations. What an awesome decision. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Hold it up. Hold it up high. I see that hand. Thank you. What an awesome decision to receive Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. What an awesome decision. The Bible says, literally, heaven stops. Heaven stops to celebrate the decision that you made. Suddenly your name gets written into a book of life. You are now headed, and your final destination is eternal life in heaven. Amen? What an incredible decision. We have a personal gift for you as well, for those who lifted their hands, and the ushers will tell you what their next step. That's just the beginning. The beginning is to receive Christ in your heart. Now God puts you on a journey where he walks with you and puts brand new sense of plan and purpose into your life. Amen? Amen. It gives you the power to work through it. Thank you for being here today.